Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood was away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. We talk primarily to men because we are men and we have experiences and we want to share that. We also have encouragement and hope. And we want to be able to share that so that we keep getting more and more ourselves. So God has blessed us. So we know that we have some women that listen in. They are known as the stealthy women. That's what we call you. Because they want to know what's going on with the men in their lives. Why do these guys act and talk and be the way that they are? And hoping that they can get some kind of answer here from us or an indication. But in either case, I'm glad you're all listening. And in the studio with me today, with a big old scar on his forehead, looks like he was in a big old fight with a UPS box. Eric is in the studio.
Got in a fight with my kitchen counter.
Yeah, that can happen at times, you know. You know, Eric, you guys don't see him. He's only about 3'5" tall. So
what?
Your kitchen counter. They're not very tall. They're pretty.
No.
Okay, yes, I know. The garbage, right?
I'm 5'10 and a half and shrinking.
Yes. You're not alone, brother. You're not alone on that shrink, that's for sure. Anyway, good to have you here this morning.
It's good to be here.
Well, we have a topic today that is something to do with the wife of our youth.
Mm-hmm.
How do we keep them? How do we satisfy them? How do we honor them? Is that what do we? Yeah. I forget what it was now.
How to be satisfied in the wife of your youth?
Oh, to be satisfied.
Yeah, to be satisfied.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, because you know we all we'll say like, well, she's not young anymore.
I wasn't going to say that,
but you know Steph, we're going to deal with that issue.
Yes. All right. Well, that's good. It's a good topic. This is a perfect time to be able to talk about this sort of thing because our wives are our helpmate. They're the ones that God actually put into our lives, and we said, hey, I want to make a covenant, and I want to be able to live with them for the rest of my life because she's my helpmate.
Amen.
And so we're going to try to take that apart and then kind of make it understandable to the guys who are listening. Not so much to the ladies. They're going, come on, come on. Say this, say that. You know,
I don't think we have a call-in number, do we?
No, we don't.
Okay.
And we have an email, though. If you ever want, you can send it to help@bandofbrothersradio.com. And we can definitely answer those emails at times. So, in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little encouragement for the men who are listening. Because, you know, these guys are just listening in. It could be a podcast or listening in the middle of the night or early morning before they go to work, or maybe they just got home from work, or maybe they're listening while they're eating their dinner or whatever it might be. But they need some encouragement. Drink All some right. water with that meal. Anyway.
Okay. There's your encouragement. All right. Drink some.
You have anything on your heart?
The other day I was listening to a Christian radio station.
Was it this one?
It wasn't this one, sorry. Okay. It was a different one. But there was a lady on the radio, and she wanted to she wanted to be encouraging. And she said something. She said "You are worthy of God's love." And I thought, "Wait a minute. No, I'm not." You know, so she wanted to encourage me by saying that I'm worthy of God's love, but I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, I'm not worthy of God's love. and all of my righteousness is like filthy rags. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anything that I have ever done has not earned God's love. There is nothing that I will ever do that will earn God's love. So are you feeling encouraged yet?
A little bit.
Okay. So I'm going to get to the encouraging part here. Because we take all that stuff, Raul, all the fact that I am completely unworthy of God's love because I am a fallen, sinful person. We take the fact that there is nothing that I can do to earn God's love. There is nothing that I will ever do that will earn God's love. We take all those things, Raul, and then we apply the truth that God loves us anyways.
Despite our sins.
Despite our sins. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be worthy to die for us because nobody dies for a righteous man, right? It's for the unrighteous that Jesus came and died. So my encouragement to you guys is, yes, you are unworthy. Yes, there is nothing lovable in and of yourself, but God loves you anyways.
Yes, yes.
We're created for that relationship, for that love relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we have our own children and we love them despite the things that they do. We love them before they have even earned any of our love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He loves us. It's who He is. It's His nature to love His children.
Yes.
There you are.
That's encouraged.
Good.
Are you going to stop right there?
I'm leaving it there, and I'm letting you add to it whatever you want.
Thank you very much. He knows that I was looking through the Bible. I was looking for something. You mentioned my name, and I sit there, and I just go, okay, you know I'm not paying attention to what you're saying, but I was paying attention to what you were saying. Oh, my gosh.
I'm glad you were paying attention. You were going to hurt my feelings.
No, but truly what it comes down to is that God is love. And one of the things that we are to emulate is who He is. And in doing so, He reminds us that, hey, we can't go to our brother and say that we love our brother as we're lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you can't go and say that I love this person and you're treating them a different way or you're talking about them behind their back. You know what? That makes us out to be a liar. And a liar, according to the Bible, is almost as bad as a, you remember the answer to that?
Tell me.
Murderer.
Oh, yeah, that verse.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that verse. He wasn't listening to me either. Anyway, the fact is that, yes, God is love, and we are to be like Him. We're to emulate Him. He asks us to be perfect because He is perfect. He asks us to be He doesn't ask. He commands us to be holy because He is holy, okay? And so He wants us to just follow Him and seek Him for everything, and He's going to give it to us. We do the same thing with our kids. Say, you don't have to go anywhere else. Just come to me, and I'll take care of you, you know? Yeah, I'd like to think that's what most fathers are thinking and desiring, because the one who emulates that or shows us that is God. And it's through His word, He shows it all over the place. Mm-hmm. Thousands of years ago and for many, many centuries yet to come. So anyway.
Amen. Yeah, so completely unworthy of the love that we're given anyways.
All right. Well, let's segue right into, speaking of love, of talking about our helpmate, that we decided that somewhere along the line that we wanted to ask to be with us for eternity, okay? As long as we live on this earth, and even thinking that, hey, even in heaven, you know, when we're there, that maybe we'll still be there. How is that going to turn out? I don't know. That's a different topic. That's other things. We don't need to get into all of that. But we're talking about our wives, okay? Remember, we're talking to men, and so we're saying your wife, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we believe, because it's a covenant with the Lord, right?
Amen.
So anyway, so I'm done, and it's yours now.
Well, and we are in covenant with God,
yes.
And it is a love covenant. And the marriage covenant that we have is a reflection of the heavenly covenant that we have with Jesus. So we, you know, we are bound to our wife and we love our wife. The problem is that we're fallen, sinful people. So we tend to, you know, we go down paths that are contrary to what God would have us do. And here, and as we're in this marriage relationship, you know, over time, well, Raul, things change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to allow that because the enemy is very patient. It's very easy to allow the lies of the enemy to start seeping into your life and into the marriage, because the enemy, Satan, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and that's mm-hmm. your marriage as well, mm-hmm. because your marriage is a reflection of the covenant that we have with God. Satan wants to destroy everything that God has created in his perfection and in his glory. And he has created the marriage covenant.
Right, right.
So, but over time, you know, things start happening. And you know what? I don't look like I did when I got married.
Okay? You don't?
I don't. It was almost 20 years ago. We
well,
got
you
that
didn't
20...
have that knock on your
I didn't,
forehead.
I didn't
either.
Have, yep, I've got some extra scars now that I didn't have back then.
Not from her, necessarily. I'm going to protect Steph here a little bit, just clarification. But then again, I don't know everything, so, you know.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah, well, certainly Stephanie's not responsible for my wrinkles.
Yes.
And my gray hair. That's my kid's fault.
Oh, you're scoring points today, brother. You get an opportunity to make up for it later today or tomorrow. So I'm sure it'll all be okay.
But anyway. The thing that I'm getting at, Ralph.
Yes,
I'm trying to make a point here.
You want me to get you out of this?
I'm not the same guy as when I got married. My wife is not the same woman when we got married.
Is that a good thing?
Well, that's a good thing if we're growing together.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
But we allow these things, you know. I look at my wife. She was, you know, 26 years old when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's been almost 20 years. She doesn't look the same as she does. She is still incredibly beautiful. Okay. So I don't want to make any sort of wrong impressions here. But the problem that we have is that as we age, we still have the world, which is
right.
seeping into our lives, and we have an image that's created by the world of what is beautiful, and it doesn't go along with an aging person.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I have not seen any 50-year-old football cheerleaders on the field. You know what I mean? The world tells us that it's youth that's beautiful.
Yes.
But God tells us that the wife of our youth is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we should rejoice always in the wife of our youth.
Yes.
Well, how can I rejoice in the wife of my youth if that was 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have been married, you know, later on in life.
Yes.
You know, how can you rejoice in the wife of your youth if you got married later on in life?
Hmm. Good question.
The thing, Raul, is that there are things about our wives that are always beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and we can rejoice in those things. Mm-hmm. There, you know, our five senses are meant to be when we are with our wife, basically erotic senses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the smell of my wife, when I can smell her, it brings me comfort,
mm-hmm.
Because that is, you know, that's the woman with whom, you know, I'm in this safe covenant relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Touch, you know, to touch my wife, and I'm not talking necessarily about erotic mm-hmm. touching. I'm just talking about just touching my wife, affectionate touching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sight of my wife. Mm-hmm. All these things are meant to draw us closer to our wives.
Yes,
that as we over and over and over again, as these five senses are affiliated with our wives, that we are always focused on that. The problem that we have, Raul, is that we allow the world to seep in. And, you know, one of the main problems that, men have is the incredible availability of pornography and imagery that clouds our thinking towards our wives.
Yeah.
So if I'm looking at images of other women, what I'm doing is I'm setting a different standard. Okay, I'm looking at somebody else and I'm desiring something other than the wife of my youth that God has provided. Mm-hmm. And that draws a man away from the wife of his youth. Okay, so you see how the enemy has taken something and he's using it to detract from our marriage relationship. So all of a sudden, the programming of my mind is taken away from my wife, and the programming of my mind goes towards somebody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When if I'm focused on my wife, mm-hmm. you know, for all these years, my wife remains beautiful for all those years because that's been my focus. If I don't know any, you know, if I don't know anything besides my wife, that's the beauty of that marriage covenant, because we're not to know anything besides our wives. We can go back to the book of Genesis where it says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's really important to look at the way that that is written. Because the man, first off, the man leaves his father and mother, and then he cleaves to his wife, okay? And then the two become one flesh. It's not before. It's not, therefore, a man will become one flesh with a woman and, you know, take her on a couple of test drives, decide that she's the one, then leave his father and mother, and then cleave. Mm-hmm. There's a very specific order here. And it's designed that way so that we're always in the covenant of marriage, the way that God has designed it to be.
Right.
If we do things out of order, it's out of order.
Right. Well, from the very beginning, if we're going to get into a little bit of what the Word of God says in the book of Deuteronomy early on, we'll go Genesis first. The first couple, okay, are Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. God created them. So that they would actually not only be together, but to create a family, okay? So that they would have the opportunity to teach that family about God, okay? That they would seek God, okay? So to be able to do that, Adam had to come first. Or in this case, God made him first. Mm-hmm. Said, this is all, you get all of this, man, the Garden of Eden, man. I just want you to start naming things off. Whatever you name them, that's what they're going to be called, okay? But it looked like, Adam just, I'm sure, I don't know how long, but a long time, he was naming things and going on and on and on and on, right? God probably thought, he's not complaining about anything. He's just doing it, but it's not fulfilling. Something needs to happen here. Mm-hmm. You know, God knows what he's doing. I'm just kind of just, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact
it's
is,
the Raoul paraphrase.
Yeah, the paraphrase. And so the fact is that God ended up creating woman from the rib of a man. Okay, the rib is part of a structure of support. Okay,
and it protects the heart.
And the the simple fact is that that's who God gave us. Okay, a woman. Now, guys, will say, yeah, that's right. Look at all these women. I get a choice here. But if you go back to the way that God had intended. He says, seek me first above all things, okay? Mm-hmm. And love me with everything you have, okay? With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Make me first and foremost, okay? And when I do that, okay, now I'm lining things up the way that God had intended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go back into the time, in reading about the era, the culture at that time and everything, then it was about, what came next, Okay. Then as you became old enough, then you would marry. Okay. Now the young men, they had to go through as Jews, their bar mitzvah and everything, and get through of their knowledge of the word of God and of God, right? The wisdom. So we can bore these guys like crazy and go through this, and they're going to go, oh, man, what am I listening to? But the simple fact is that, see, God had a plan, and he wanted us to follow that plan. And sometimes many of us, okay, me included, did not follow the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did not follow the plan, it failed. Now, have you ever done anything over and over again expecting a different result? I did that.
Oh, yeah.
In marriages. I did that in marriages, in relationships. So I have lots of experience how not to do it, okay? And today, I will tell you this. I'm a couple months away from having 10 years with the love of my life, okay?
Hallelujah.
And it is was done correctly. And, you know, God orchestrated. God said, hey, let no man come in here and take away what I have brought together. Before, it was always me putting things together. No wonder they fell apart.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break because
okay.
We're way beyond time here because some guy was preaching earlier. And that was me. That was me, not you right now. I'm just throwing it all out there.
Okay.
Anyway, don't worry. He's going to feel bad. He's going to walk out of here on me. Don't you lock that door on him, producer. Lock it. Don't let him out. And we're going to actually take a break. We're going to come back and continue talking about this thing, about where it talks about in Proverbs. And you guys pull your Bible out. Proverbs 5?
5:18.
5:18. Read it. We're going to read it, too. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got the man in brown with me in the house.
Help,
with
let me scar. Out, let me out.
Yeah, that door's locked. You can't get out, man. You're not going anywhere. Producer followed direction this time. She says she's got it. I think, wow, that's a pretty big desk in front of that. I don't know if he's going to open that door to get out to go to work. All right, let's go to Proverbs 5:18, okay? And it says, I have NIV here. It says, may your fountain be blessed. And may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Okay? And that's awesome. You know what's even more awesome? Are the next two verses.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear
19 it. Says, or go ahead. Since your wife is listening, I'm sure you'll.
All right. So 19 says, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love.
There you go. And then the next, and why, 20.
Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress?
There you go.
Which brings us right back to what I was talking about earlier, how we allow the images of this world, the precepts of the world to seep into our own marriage, and we actually go down that road. We're prone to go down that road,
right.
that's being talked about in verse 20, where we're seduced by the adulteress. It takes us away from the focus of the wife of our youth.
Right.
The fountain,
mm-hmm.
that water which gives life.
Right. And really what it, it, as men, we sit there and we think, when you mentioned about the fountain, okay, when you're talking about of the youth, we're not he's not necessarily talking about, yes, maybe at this time, because they did marry early in their years, okay, to get going, because I was going to say the kids, but the young adults at that time were very mature, not only spiritually, but intellectually, emotionally. They were taking responsibility. They had been working in the fields. I mean, we're talking about the Israelites. They're, I mean, there's a lot of responsibility. These guys, when they were, you know, by the time they hit Bar Mitzvah 16, they're ready. They're ready to take on a family, okay?
Yeah, certainly a different society from the one we live in today.
Absolutely. There's not too many 16-year-olds that I'd sit there and say, hey, I think you're ready to start a family up, you know? You know? But it was a different culture at that time than it is today. But here's the premise, I think, is that God is trying to remind us that, you know, when we seek Him and when we love Him, He's going to give us everything that we need on His timing. We just have to be patient with Him. We have to just trust in Him and believe that His promises will come true for us too.
Yeah, well, we can go right back to the Garden of Eden like we were talking about earlier. Adam did not go out looking for a helpmate. God
That's right.
brought the helpmate to him, formed from his rib.
Now, we have to be kind of, let's be right up front here in a sense. What you don't know, you don't miss. Right?
Right.
And he had no clue
had no clue. Yeah. But then once Eve was made, I'm sure he was just like, good job, God.
That's why when he was
well done.
When Eve took the apple and took a bite of it and everything, it says in the Bible that he was right there, that Adam was right there.
Yeah.
I think he was gawking at his wife. He's going, wow, I can't believe it. Look how good she looks, you know. Can we do that again?
The first woman ever made, okay, was had to have been just, you know, stunning beyond measure, right? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Well,
you know?
Stunning beyond measure to him.
Yeah. Because
there was nobody else to be able to see. And that's the way it ought to be with our wives today.
Exactly.
With our wives today. There should be nobody else. And we need to honor her and love her by letting her know in different ways. You already mentioned part of it, in affection, in touch. You know, put your arm around your wife at the church. Don't have to get into anything. Just put your arm around her. Let her know that you love her. Let her know that you care about her. Let others know that you love her and that this is your wife, okay?
Right. Well, these senses that we have, Raul, you know, they serve all sorts of purposes.
Yes.
You know, I when I'm driving down the road, I got my hands on the steering wheel. I can feel the steering wheel. I have that sense of touch. It's needed for
mm-hmm.
that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also for this relationship that we have with our wives.
Mm-hmm.
All of these senses that God has given us for everyday use is also meant to be used inside of this marriage covenant. That I smell my wife and I take that in, that I see her and that I rejoice in the sight of her, that I touch her and with loving kindness, that I hear her words and it brings me joy.
Yes.
What's the senses that I'm missing here?
The touch, the sight, the hearing.
Hearing. Okay. I don't know. Did I hit them all? I'm not sure.
You came close enough.
But you get my point. That all these things are meant for us to be exhilarated with her love.
Yes. Yes.
Just like it says in verse 19, to be exhilarated always with her love.
Yes.
Solomon continues in the Songs of Solomon, writing about these things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I read this, sometimes it's the wife talking to the man, so keep that in mind. But we're talking about, you know, back and forth inside the relationship. So okay,
you're digging your own hole, brother.
All right, so. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Well, okay. we're talking here about, you know, the kisses, the touch are enticing. The anointing oils are fragrant. You know, Solomon goes right back to what, you know, he said in Proverbs in his Songs of Solomon about these, you know, these senses that cause us to be exhilarated with that wife of our youth.
Right, right.
But, you know, we were talking during the break, Raul, about the fact that some of us aren't married when we're young. So how is it that that we can be exhilarated with the wife of our youth when, say, we were married at 60 or wherever you are?
Wherever you are. Even for that matter, if you have been married and you happen to fall into doing what God says that he hates, divorce, okay, mm-hmm. and having done that sort of thing. Like I had shared with you earlier, I said, you know, I fell into that arena a few times because I tried to control my life. I wasn't seeking God. Yes, I pretended I was seeking God. Okay.
Yeah, but we do that on our own terms sometimes.
Exactly.
We seek God on our own terms.
Exactly. So that it gives me a reason, an excuse not to have to be able to do something that God wants me to be doing, right? So as a result of that, when you get to that place and make it right with the Lord, I believe that when he's talking about the wife of your youth, as for me, I was, in my own heart, I was youthful in my relationship with God, okay? I had been to a place where he had renewed my heart, renewed my mind, okay? And I am anew. So anything that comes into my life, I see it through a different set of glasses, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the woman of my youth happens to be the woman that I'm married to now, okay? That my youth in my walk with Christ. Because really, when I finally got to that place of, had I received God before? Yes. But like anyone else, and I know I'm not alone in this, I walked away. I started to do life my own way. I used and put Jesus on the shelf and pulled him down only when I needed him. It doesn't say that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be seeking him first and foremost above all things. And it wasn't until my own life got into disarray and had fallen apart completely, in a sense, that I realized that I need him. I need this God that I've been playing around with, in a sense. And mm-hmm. when I sought him, then he gave me the action I needed to take. I asked for the forgiveness. I took care of the repenting and turning away from a certain lifestyle, not only physically, but heartfelt, emotionally, spiritually, repented, okay? And as a result of that, what I thought I would never, ever have ever again, that's another relationship with another woman, ever, because I was satisfied with just doing God's deal in my life. That's it. And he blessed me once again.
Mm.
Now, probably for the first time. He didn't just bless me again. He blessed me for the first time with the wife of my youth. And I was not young, brother. But the fact is that in my heart, I felt young. I've never felt better. Mm-hmm. I've never been happier, and I've never had so much joy. And it's not so much that he blessed me with the wife that I have today, but he blessed me with his love. And that is truly what it's all about, his love, okay? And then he showed me right. his love by giving me something that I didn't even realize. I've always desired. I always wanted a family. I always wanted a wife that would love me and respect me. I always wanted to be able to be loved and needed. And I wanted to be able to love someone else to make them fulfill their desires, right? And, you know, God just, boy, he just, a miracle just took place, had taken place, and boom. And most people, they may not understand that. I don't know. It does not matter. I do. My wife does.
Yeah, and we go through our lives wanting all these things, and all the while God, I believe, is saying, what I want for you to understand is my covenant love for you.
Yes, Yes.
And it is through that marriage relationship that we have, you know, a glimpse of that covenant love, because it's a reflection. Now, I want to go back a little bit to what you were saying about when you started dating Debbie, and you talked about, you know, all the excitement, and I'm just thinking about this word exhilarated, that's in Proverbs, that during that time that you're exhilarated, and I think back to my own dating, when I was dating my wife before we got married, I was exhilarated with this person. I was just intoxicated being around her. The thing is, Raul, is that no matter what stage in life you're at, when you're there, God's desire is that same intensity remain throughout the entirety of your covenant marriage with the woman. And the way that happens is that we are exhilarated always in her love.
Yes.
We can't allow anything else to intrude on that love.
Yes, yes.
And, well, go ahead.
No, it's time for a break, but what you were just sharing here with me when you're talking about age and differences from youth, physical youth, you know, okay, and to mature age, in a sense, it's almost like looking, you have two different people, different ages, looking at a sunset. It's a beautiful sunset. We notice the colors. We notice everything about it. But the feeling that you get is going to be different as a youth, as those who have been around a little longer. Sometimes I think it's a little bit more meaningful with the age, okay, when you have a few days under your belt, so to speak, okay? Because it's not so much about the color, the warmth, the sunset, the all of those things, as it is where you're at with him, okay, and who he's put into your life. You have more to be grateful for, more to be thankful for.
Hmm.
Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll continue talking about this sort of thing. You know what? There's a place in Ecclesiastes where it says that something about the wife in your meaningless life. We'll be right back. We're talking about God. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand. There I was, now here I am. Here I am, changed.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got Eric in the studio, Eric and Raul, and here we are in the midst of talking about our wives, okay, our helpmates, the ones that God have given us to be able to be partners in this life. And part of this, having a wife, is to have family, so that we would be able to teach them exactly what he had put in Deuteronomy 6 about that you teach them as they wake, as when they go to sleep, as they're walking down the road. You teach them about the Lord, right? So that they would get to know the Lord early on and really trust in him. And the more that they know, the more they'd realize how good they have it as a result of the relationship with the Lord. Am I incorrect in that, or is that...
No, that sounds pretty spot on there, Raul.
But I believe that this is all still part of it. So yes, we're talking about the wives of our youth, okay? But God wanted a relationship. Our God is a God of relationship.
Yes.
That's why he sent Jesus down here. That's why we have the Holy Spirit as a counselor. He says, hey, man, we're family. I'm going to give you not only my son, you know, who's going to actually endure death on the cross. He's going to rise again to be able to have a completely new covenant where you don't have to go through all these things that we've done in the past. You can come directly to me, but you can only get to me through him.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? And as a result of that, as I leave this world, as Jesus left this world, he says, I'm going to leave you a counselor. You're going to have God's Spirit, and he's going to be in you. And he's going to just continue on just allowing others to be able to hear more about what he has. Mm. So what do you got there, brother?
When I was looking at Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant.
Yes.
Because, you know, when we lose sight of that covenant relationship, the covenant that we have made with God, and we neglect our wife, we're being faithless.
Yes.
Our faith drives us to be with our wives.
Yes.
But as we have let this world destroy our view of our wife, the horrible downside to what happens there is we get the idea in our heads that I deserve something better than the wife that God has given me.
That's because of temptation and sin in the world.
Yes.
And that's what takes place. That's what you were talking about early on, because we fall into that trap of thinking, okay, you know what? I need something else. I need something else that's going to just light me up like it used to. And let me tell you, you're already with her. If you're married right now, brother, that is the woman that will be able to light up. But you've got to take care of business. You've got to be willing to die to self. You've got to be willing to take on the spiritual headship of your home, to be able to humble yourself, not only alongside, but alone with the Lord, alongside with your wife and your family. Admitting the fact that maybe you just don't know what direction you needed to be going, but you're becoming aware of God's presence in your life once again.
Amen. So how can we be satisfied, Raul, with the wife of our youth? The way that we're satisfied with the wife of our youth is to follow Jesus Christ first and foremost, to seek him above all other things, to want to be obedient to him and his word. When we're doing these things, Raul, he doesn't want to take us away from our wife. He wants to multiply the feelings of love that we have for our wife. So he has created for us, like I was talking about, these senses that when we take our wife in, that it becomes intoxicating to us. How can it become intoxicating? You cannot take in anything other than the senses of your wife. If we take in the senses of an adulteress, it draws us away from our wife.
Right.
How are we satisfied? Right. We focus on the wife that God has given us. We seek Jesus Christ above all other things. That we come together as that covenant marriage relationship that we have, just like the covenant that we have with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ.
Amen. God first. Then it's your spouse, then it's your wife, okay?
Yeah.
Then it's family, and then it goes down from there. But I'm telling you, you mess up on those first three, and we have at times.
Mm-hmm.
How often have we put something else above our relationship with our wives, okay? And then all of a sudden things go sideways, and we don't understand. Then we want to blame them. Just like Adam said, hey, it's because of the woman that you gave me. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Oh, God's looking at you going, oh, man, only but by my grace, I'm not going to flip your head off.
That verse makes me chuckle because I'll tell you what, I see myself in there so much, that passive-aggressive.
Yes.
God, it's your fault. Yes. It's the woman you gave me.
Well, I tell you what, man, it's a good show. Good things that we talked about, brought a little laughter, a little knowledge of the Word of God. Brother, just love your wife. Talk with her. Communicate with her. Be willing to be transparent with her, and she will do the same with you. But you need to lead the way, brother, in dying to self. Would you pray for our brothers?
I will. Heavenly Father, I just ask for your forgiveness that we have ever sought anything other than the wife that you have given for us, God.